Jai Shri Parikar, Shri Shri Guru Granga, Shri Shri Gandharvika, Giridhari Dhruv Ki Jai. So we're having a discussion this morning. One of my acquaintances in Russia, has a lady in Russia, was asking about how is it that Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, it, what in his last days was showing such poor health and debilitation. And the question she was asking was, it the same thing is happening to us. He is supposed to be a spiritual master and someone who is teaching how to live in the plane of spiritual consciousness, and yet he seems to is apparently subject to the same foibles, the same problems that we are subjected to: ill health, old age, infirmity, etc. So, if he one form of the question was, if he can't control these things, if he has no power to subdue these things, then what power does he have? Why should we think that he's a powerful spiritual personality if he has no power even to control the lower material energy, which is the material energy is the subservient to the spiritual energy, a minor energy by comparison in some ways. Of course, Daivihyesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Duratyaya, it is also divine energy of the Lord. All his energies are divine and therefore they have unlimited power. Srila Sridhara Maharaj noted this when Nanta Vasudev, his godbrother, made some challenge in this way, that I challenge Maya to try and dislodge me from the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Sridhara Maharaj said, I did not care for that challenge very much. And why? Because the Maya is the Lord's energy, Daivihyesha Gunamayi. It is unlimited, so to make such a challenge to something which has unlimited power, he considered not a very good choice, not a very good use of your challenging nature. Challenge something which you can subdue. But we are all all little, tiny compared to the illusory energy of the Lord. So the energy is very great, but the spiritual energy is superior. Chit Shakti, Maya Shakti, Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti, three different Shaktis, energies, potencies of the Lord. So if Swami Maharaj is under the control of the Chit Shakti, the higher potency, and if he, then why is it, and he said, Swami Maharaj said, that the Guru's body is transcendental. Just as Krishna's body is transcendental, so the Guru's body is transcendental. So why is the transcendental body showing everything just like the material bodies that the rest of us have? How does that make any sense? What's the logic there? It's a doubt. Creates doubt. Seeing this creates a doubt. Understandably. So what is the basis for such an assessment? Well, Swami Maharaj is under the eating food, he's eating food. I'm getting old, he's getting old. I get sick, he gets sick. My body gets injured, his body gets injured. I get tired, he gets tired. I sleep, he sleeps, etc., etc. You can make any number of comparisons like this. So then, what is the difference? That's really the gist of the question, the essence of it. Then what is the difference? Oh. First, what is the basis for your comparison? And the basis for the comparison is none other than that great enemy of ours, the material senses. We are the slaves of the material senses. We see what we are forced to see through connection of the mundane senses with the sense objects. Actually, the sense objects are telling us what to see. And the senses are receptors by which to perceive what is being broadcast by the sense objects, or vice versa. I think you can take it either way. The sense objects are manifestations of the senses. What I want to see, some object comes in front of me so that I see what it is that I want to see through the senses I've been given. And the reason I've been given these senses is because I want to be fooled. I want to be cheated. I don't want to know what is my proper spiritual position. I want to have an illusory position, a fake position, a false position. Position where I am the Lord and Master of all I survey. So if I'm Lord and Master of all I survey, then I see what I want to see. I'm the Master. So I see what I want to see. So the spiritual man, I see, I don't want to see him as spiritual. I see him as material. Krishna, the spiritual personality, the supreme personality of God, I don't want to see him as Krishna, the supreme personality of God. I want to see him as an ordinary man. I want to see him as a playboy. I want to see him as a liar and a cheat and whatever. Like so many liars and cheats of this world. So I see him in that way. That's what, I'm the Lord of my, Lord and Master of all I survey, all that's in front of me. So as Lord, I want to see this way. Oh, boom, I get to see that way. So I see the spiritual world is all bogus. And the material world is all real. Because I have some mastery, mastership, lordship over the material world. And that world where I have no lordship, where I am the servant and not the master, I don't accept it. I don't see it. No, it's not existent. It cannot be true, cannot be real. Only the world which I can where I can control, that is the real world. No other, I'd accept no other world but that. So the illusory world that we are so determined to see, so determined to experience, so determined to interact with, the Lord by His grace, He allows us to have that world and to live in that world. And then when He's gracious, we make it known to Him clearly as a fact. I do not want your service. I want to live where I am the king, not where you are king. I want to be the holding the reins, driving where I want to go, not where you want me to go. So he says, okay, you can have that. And when we get it, then what's the first thing we do? Like all bad children do? We get what we want, then we complain. Oh, what kind of cruel person are you to give me this world? Where there is suffering and there is the disease and there is old age and there is this and that. So many things. Oh, God must be very cruel. What a rascal. If there is a God, I don't believe in God because God could not, if there was a God, he would not be cruel. And what are you blaming God for? Oh, he gave you what you want. Gave you what you wanted. And then you get it, and then you say, how cruel is that man to give me these things that I insisted that they be given to me. So we asked for it, we got it, now we have it, we made our bed, now we're lying in it, and we're saying, oh, this bed is filthy. I don't like this at all. It has bed bugs and very uncomfortable. I'm getting bites and pinches and so many things that make me uncomfortable. So I've been given what I want, and what I want is the vision to see that I am the master. And the only way I can have that vision is to be in contact with Mahamaya, the illusory energy. The illusory energy gives me that vision. Otherwise, not possible to have that vision. Because living in reality, we'll never think that way, see that way, or anything. So, by what is the judgment being made? The guru is like this, the guru's body is such and such, and my body is such and such. How is that, what is the basis for that realization? What is the basis for that conclusion? What my senses are telling me. What the illusion I asked to be given, I asked to be put under the illusion. Now that I'm living under the illusion, I'm seeing everything as illusion. So that means I can't tell the difference between what is matter and what is spirit. The seers of the truth, they can tell the difference. They can discriminate what is matter and what is spirit. They understand the difference between these two energies of the Lord. But we, conditioned souls, under the influence of the material energy, we see everything as material. And who is the transcendentalist? He also appears to be material to us, mundane. How else could it be? What else could it be? So the guru, the spiritual master, like Navadvipa, they have tractors running up and down the road all day. There's one right here on our street. The spiritual master, the Vaishnava, the Lord, his associates, the spiritual world, all things transcendental, prasadam, mahaprasadam, the paraphernalia of the Lord, the bell used to for the arti, to worship the Lord. The Lord is transcendental, his paraphernalia is transcendental, and we cannot perceive that directly with our mundane senses, and as such, we then are inclined to speculate that since everything I've come in contact with my senses, is a mundane thing, then the deity must also be mundane. The bell used in the arti, that must be a mundane thing as well. And the spiritual master, the body of the spiritual master, that must be mundane. The Vaishnava must be mundane. In this way, the conditioned soul will interpret what he perceives with his inadequate, grossly inadequate, mundane senses. He has no access to the spiritual world. Hey, Leela Sundari,
sorry,
you're gonna have to stop that. Just sit.
Yeah.
You asked if you could drink something. You didn't ask if you could make a whole meal, whatever you're doing in there. Whatever are you doing in there? Okay, just quiet, quiet, quiet. Listen, okay? So we asked We wanted to be placed in illusion. We were placed in illusion. Then when reality tries to show itself to us, we deny and we say, how can it be reality? It's just like me. Well, we are missing what we are. We are not these bodies. First lesson of spiritual life. We're not these bodies. We're not these senses. We're not this mind. We're not this intellect. We're not the false ego, which starts the whole process for conversion of matter into spirit, for misperceiving, spirit into matter, for misperceiving spirit. What is the state of the conditioned soul? What is the illusion? It means that everywhere around us, the spiritual energy is present, and we can't see it. We are misperceiving it. We can't see it for what it is. Well, if we don't see the deity for what he is, if we can't see Krishna when he was on this earth, standing directly in front of us, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if we think his body is material, we can't understand who, what he is, we can't see God when he's standing in front of us, we can't make out that he is the unlimited Supreme Lord, the transcendent Lord, if we can't understand that, if Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the great Indian scholar, student of the Vedanta and so many things, who knew so much that he knew what is Mahabhava, the symptoms of Mahabhava, he knew what the symptoms were. And he knew, then he should have known that only a personality like Srimati Radharani, not like, only Srimati Radharani can exhibit such symptoms. And he saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exhibiting those symptoms, and he can't understand who Mahaprabhu is. What happened? Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, in a combined form, Krishna and Sri Radha, present on the earth 500 years ago in Puri Dham, in Jagannath Puri Temple. Seeing Jagannath, seeing Lord Jagannath, and losing any connection of consciousness with the material surroundings or the material realm, losing himself completely in the ecstasy of Mahabhava, fainting, falling on the ground, unconscious, so many symptoms, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, so expert, my gosh, unbelievable, that he knew, he said, that these are the symptoms of Mahabhava. How can they be showing themselves here? Doesn't make any sense to him. And after a number of discussions with Gopinathacharya, I think his nephew, Gopinathacharya, I believe, was the nephew of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Gopinath chastising Sarvabhauma, "Oh, foolish man, don't you know that he's the incarnation for Kali Yuga?" No, there is no incarnation. The Tri-Yuga avatar. There is no incarnation for Kali Yuga. I don't accept that. Everyone knows. Only three Yugas does the Lord appear. And he knew that. Sarvabhauma knew that. But the Lord is standing in front of him, and Gopinathacharya tries to prove to Sarvabhauma that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself. You cannot recognize it. But the problem is not that that personality is not Krishna. That is not the problem. The problem is not that he is a mundane person. The problem is that you cannot see him for what he is. Therefore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the problem, my friend, is with you. The problem is with you. And that's the problem for every one of us who cannot see the spiritual characteristic of the guru, the Vaishnava, the deity, the paraphernalia of the deity, the temple of the Lord, his house, etc., etc., etc. The problem is not, it doesn't mean that they are lesser. It means that we are lesser. We cannot see who they are, how they are. We cannot understand the transcendental nature of these things, these personalities. They're all personalities, spiritual personalities. But the mundane senses, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, Santak Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. We can't see it. We don't have the only way that we have would have the ability to see these things is when the eyes, not this mundane eye, when our spiritual eye is the salve of prema is applied, when love, spiritual love for the Lord and his devotees, when that is applied to the eyes, then we will see everything as they are in their true spiritual form. So when Srila Govinda Maharaj was showing infirmity, showing illness, etc., then we began to hear Mahananda Prabhu and others referring to his condition like that. And this is a very good expression. Gurudev is showing illness. Gurudev is showing a heart condition. Gurudev is showing whatever. He's taking medicine for some reason. He's showing. But not that he's dependent upon these things. None of us, and ourselves also, we're not dependent on any of these things. We're not depending on this body for our existence. Right? If we are sick and we don't take medicine and the body dies, we don't die. Right? We're also transcendental spiritual entities. It's our misperception of ourself that is, again, the cause of the problem. We misperceive and we are thinking, if I don't take the medicine, if I don't get the operation, if I don't get sufficient food, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. If I don't eat, sleep, mate, and defend to sufficient degree, how will I live? And so when we tell people that want to become students of the Krishna consciousness movement, then we tell them, oh, you cannot indulge in meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, or intoxication. These things are forbidden for the serious student, serious seeker of transcendental knowledge. Because these are not the things, these are distractions. These are things which carry us away from the consciousness of the Absolute. Diversions, diverting us. These are the things which make it difficult for the beginner, especially, to focus his concentration on progress. under the guidance of higher authority, higher Vaishnava. And they're always forbidden, and only with some exception, when they are transcendentally motivated. Right? So these activities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, all forbidden for us. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, those are also forbidden. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. All forbidden. And meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, and intoxication. All forbidden. There is allowance when they are pursued from the spiritual plane, from the transcendent plane, and not from the material plane. So the Lord, on the spiritual plane, he has many girlfriends. It's allowed, allowable, and more than that, worshipable. And then also, naturally then will want to understand worshipable. He's a liar, a cheat, a thief. He's has many girlfriends. He's enjoying their company. And you say that's okay. God has no morality and that's okay with you. We're expected to be moral creatures. And our Supreme Father, our worshipable entity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of everything, from whom everything proceeds. He is you can accept that he is an immoral man. That the morality which we take to be the standard of living, right? The standard by which people will be judged, etc. In this world, you're going to throw that standard away and say that God, who is supposed to be the example, the supreme one to look to for guidance on morality, and he has no morality? This is your idea, you crazy Hare Krishnas? Yes, my dear sir, that is our idea. Now here's why. Because he is the maker of morality. He is deciding. It is not for us to decide. Who are we? Who are we? Is that the idea? That then morality is such a subjective thing? Oh, your morality and yours and mine? Oh, how will we decide which one is correct and which one is incorrect? We have so many neighbors here. We have spiritual leaders of all different, religious conceptions. They are all deciding. The Muslims have one idea of morality. The Muslim terrorists, they have one idea. If anyone is shooting at you, hold a child in front of you and then they'll stop shooting. Hopefully, anyway. If they don't, well, too bad. Child can die. Grab a woman. They won't shoot a woman, hopefully. So if anyone's shooting at you, you terrorists, us terrorists, then grab a woman, grab a child, and put in front of you. Probably they'll stop shooting. Now that's one type of morality, and if We are promoting Islam and Sharia and all of these things. And if we have to kill hundreds and thousands of Muslims to do that, well, collateral damage. So be it. All glories to Allah. God is great. Our end justifies the means. That's the morality of one group. The end justifies the means. You are Christian, you accept Islam, or we cut off your head. You are Jewish, you accept Islam, or we cut off your head. The Bible or the Quran? We are not insisting. We give you a choice. You are free to choose. You have freedom of choice. You accept the Quran or the sword? We cut off your head with the sword, or we teach the Quran, to follow the Quran. What, as you like. We are not demanding anything in particular. Free choice is yours. We are not tyrants. We're not tyrants. Yeah, your choice. Quran, follow that. Or we cut off your head with the sword. You choose the sword. Which one? As you like. And the Jews, their doctrine, the Torah, etc., many laws, rules to be followed. And through following the rules, then you will get heaven in your next life. And I guess association with God. I guess you will go to live with God. Is that it? Something like that?
Depends on the type of Judaism.
Right, yeah. So within each of these things, there's so many sects, and I'm only describing some small parts. There are, you know, thousands of parts to these things. But the point is, there is no absolute standard of morality among all the religions of the world. Well, many of them are very interested in teaching morality. And Christian morality is different from the morality of the Jews. They're different from the morality of the Muslims. And their morality is very different from the morality of God. God's morality is, whatever I want, it's good. What if today I want to steal? That's good. If tomorrow I want to tell the truth, that's good. If I want to enjoy with the beautiful young damsels of Vrindavan, that's good. If I want to be the obedient son of my mother, that's good. And if I want to disobey her order, that's also good. That's beautiful. She tells me, you don't eat butter. You're not allowed. And he steals butter, that's good. That's beautiful. And if he entices the wives of different who are have their husbands and entices them to leave their husbands to come and dance with him, very good. Very, that's beautiful. That's very nice. We like that. And if he says, don't leave your husbands, stay with them, that's also good. So, why? How can it all be good? How can it all be good? Saraswati Thakur said, your puppy brain cannot go there. You cannot go there with your little tiny puny brain to understand these things. Not possible. But actually, there's a very logical and reasonable argument and explanation. Because God is good. There's nothing bad in Him. And He is who He is. And there's only one of Him. And we cannot say that if I do these things that they are good. We can only say if he does them, they are good. Because we cannot, he can judge us, but we cannot, he can judge our morality. We have no right to judge his morality because we are not his equal. He has no equal. He has no equal. He is Sfirat, independent. We're not independent. No one else is independent. Only he is independent. Arteshu abhigya svarat. Arteshu. Because only he knows the purpose of everything. We do not know what the purpose is. He knows. We do not know. We know if he tells us. He knows if he lets us know. We know if he shows us. The purpose is this. The purpose of the material creation is this. The purpose of the spiritual creation is this. The purpose of the jiva is this. The purpose of Tattvastha Shakti, it's this. Etc., etc. The purpose of my pastimes, the Lord's pastimes, they are this. If he reveals the purpose, then we know the purpose. But only he knows the purpose. He is independent. And he doesn't have to tell us beforehand, I'm about to do this, and my purpose is thus and such. He doesn't need our permission. He doesn't need to caution us. He doesn't need to explain himself to us. He only needs to do whatever he likes to do. Whatever gives him happiness. That's his position, because he is Arteshu Abhigya Svarat. He's completely independent. And he knows the purpose of his behavior, his activities. And that all his purposes are beautiful and all of them are good. But not like the conditioned soul, not like us. Or actually, we are all evil things. Our purposes are eat your neighbor. We are not eating animals, but we're eating plants. And the plants are our neighbors. Right? Jiva, jivasya, jivanam. What shall we consume today? Let us consume our neighbor. I don't want to consume myself. Since everything else is something other than myself, then I must consume others. I must consume others for my existence. So I consume some plants. I consume the air. I consume the water. I consume the sunlight. I consume the minerals from the earth. I consume the trees and the forest. I consume the coal from the ground and the oil. Everything, because why? Because I'm thinking I'm Lord and Master. It's all for my consumption. It's all for me to eat. Eat up. As much as I can. The more I can eat, then the bigger I am, the better I am. So the more I can control, the more oil fields I can control, the more coal mines I can control, the more factories, the more computer producers, more chips I can control, the more land I can control, the more people I can control, the more I can consume. I'm now not only I'm not only consuming the energy of my family. I'm consuming the energy of the workers in the factory. I'm consuming the government. I'm consuming the world. I'm consuming, consuming, consuming. And all of these things are what? They're your neighbors. They're your friends, your relatives, distant relatives. They're your countrymen, right? They're your global men. Residents of the same world as you. this earthly world. And when I can't consume, I can't see anything else on this earth to consume, let me go to the moon and try to consume that. There's just not enough, doggone it, on this earth for consumption. Let us go to the moon, let us go to Mars, let us go to Jupiter, and let us go to the stars and beyond and try to consume something there. Because I'm never satisfied with what I may, with what I can get from my immediate neighbors. I have to go to the next neighbor and down the street, down the block, to the next town, the next village, the next country, the next, etc., etc., on the next globe, the next universe. If they could consume another universe, they would do that also. Right? And if not grossly, they can't get anything from it tangibly. They can't bring back the, you know, they can bring back some rocks from the moon, but they can't bring back the rocks from Mars. But they're gonna try. You know, they can be sure they will try. And they can't bring back the rocks. So then you think, well, then how are they consuming Mars? Oh, they're taking the knowledge. Oh, it looks like this. These are the elements. They're studying it. That's another type of consumption. Right? Acquiring knowledge. That's an acquisition. That's consuming. That's taking something from the environment and trying to make it yours. Right? There's knowledge. There are discoveries to be made. The universe is full of wonders, miracles upon miracles. Let me claim them as mine. No one saw this miracle before. Now I expose it to the scientific community, to the world. Look, no one knew what was the makeup of the elements of Mars. Now I can tell you. I've discovered it. Have you made it? No, I made nothing. Then what have you done? Oh, you've seen something. Very, you know, okay. Big deal. Good for you. You're the first to see it. Big credit to you. But how do you know that also? Are you sure that there's no one already living on Mars, on the moon, on this planet, on that planet? Are you sure? Are you sure that they are not the inhabitants of that, of those planets, just as you're the inhabitant of this earthly planet? Are you sure? Have you seen everything? Have you seen all the worlds? Now the scientists are thinking, oh, there are many universes simultaneously existing, different planes existing simultaneously. I forget what they call them, but dimensions, like different dimensions, seven. You know, we thought there were three dimensions. Now we think there are, you know, then four, five, six, seven, 11. You know, one theory is there are unlimited, parallel universes. Right? Parallel universes, so many. Because everything can happen at once. Everything can have unlimited positions at the same time, but not in the same universe, in different universe. So this is the business of the scientists. They are trying, they are consuming, they are collecting the data. But that, they did not create the data. Right? They did not create the mineral. They did not create the table of the elements. The elements, were they created by the scientists? Actually, now they say some are. I think some are. How were they created? Oh, well, by taking the elements that were there and throwing them together. Right? And mixing them together. Smashing the atom of one element, or smashing one atom against another atom, a different element is created. Oh, look what we've done. Aren't we great? So, and they pretend to be searchers of the truth. But the real truth cannot be found like that, because the real truth is transcendent. It is not understandable, it is not perceivable with the mundane senses, because the real truth is not a thing, it's not an it, it's not an object, it is He, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. He is the truth, and He is beautiful. And everything that He does, that is also beautiful. Because He is beautiful, then what He does is beautiful. And because we are ugly, what we do is ugly. So we think that the deity is a mundane thing. We think that the guru is a mundane thing. We think that the Vaishnava is a mundane thing. Because we are ugly. Because we are not living with the beauty in the beautiful world of the beautiful Lord, with His beautiful surroundings, His beautiful devotees, engaged in His beautiful pastimes, which give wonderful pleasure and satisfaction to everyone who sees them, who hears about them, who can understand them for what they are. Those who can understand them for what they are attracted by those pastimes. Not repulsed, attracted. Because that is also His nature. His nature is to attract the attention of everyone, and that's because He is an opulent person. He has unlimited opulences, and He is full. He is unlimitedly full, complete with all of those opulences. If anyone has any opulence, it is a grant from Him. It is on loan from Him. As one of the talk show hosts, Rush Limbaugh, says, talent on loan from God. Whatever we have, it is not ours. It is on loan from God. The beauty, intellect, intelligence, memory, knowledge, forgetfulness, all loans, loan, 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 loan. All on loan. He can take it back. He can call the loan due and payable at any time. All right, then will you be able to pay? If you're not an unalloyed servant of the Lord, no, you will not pay. You'll not be able to pay. But if you are Sarvadharman Parichaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, if you follow that idea, then the Lord accepts, here is my devotee. He has given up everything for me, and I am His friend. Sarvadharman Parichaja. Whatever my devotee has done, the world, you forget it. He is my devotee. You don't care what anything He's done. He's not done anything wrong. Sarvadharman Parichaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, Hung Thuang Sarva Pape Bio. Moksha Ishami Masuchaha. All you think that there is sin? There's Papa, sin? He is full of sin? He has so much sin attached to him? When he, my devotee, when he gives up everything to serve me, no, I take that. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't, it's not your business. Don't worry about it. My business now. I take it. Krishna says, I'm taking that. No longer your business. So see my, I am beautiful. See the Lord is beautiful. See the Lord's devotee is beautiful. First, see the Lord's devotee is beautiful. See the Lord's devotee as transcendental in every respect. See the Lord's devotee, that when He is showing illness, when He is showing debility, when He is showing infirmity, that is to help us. That is His mercy to us, that there is a purpose there also. There may be many purposes. One of the purposes is to attract our devotion. Because if you see anyone suffering, you want to help them. You want to stop their suffering. So if your guru has a headache, you want to stop his headache. You'll bring him some medicine, some aspirin or something. Right? It's natural. If he injures his finger, like some time ago, Govinda Maharaj smashed his finger in the gate of his room. He has a bandage, big, you know, bandage on his finger. Everyone is, we're horrified. Oh, our guru is our beloved guru, friend, master. He must be suffering from that injury. Let us give him relief. Within my capacity. I have no capacity to give him relief in the spiritual sense. Maybe some capacity, because he's teaching me to do that. But this body of his, he's giving me an opportunity. Feed it, clothe it, make it warm, make it cool, make it comfortable. Well, otherwise, if we don't do that, where is our service going to be? Other things, distribute books, preach, learn the books, study the books, understand the philosophy, etc. So many unlimited instructions are there, unlimited engagement for us. But there is a great attraction between persons. The interest to serve another person is far greater than to serve a book. We can read the Shastra, we can read so many scriptures, and we can get, you know, different ideas. But when there is a person, but how do we serve the book? How do we nourish it? You know, what do we do? That can also be done. But what is there is a reason that Krishna comes in the form of Gurudev. And as an intermediary. You can't see me. I'm in the spiritual world. I'm in Vrindavan. I'm in Goloka. You can't see me. Here I come in a way that you can interact with me. Guru, Vaishnava, devotee, sadhu, etc. Interact with me in a way, the only way you can. Bring me some water. Cook something for me. Do something for me. Build a temple. Do some yard work. Clean the temple of the Lord. There are so many engagements. Do for me. But the instruction is not coming from the plane of the mundane. The instruction is coming from the transcendence. Goloka, from the spiritual world, that instruction. Do this, do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's all coming from the transcendent world. And it's also being directed not to our bodies, but to our hearts, to our spiritual consciousness, to our spiritual self. And that also, maybe apparently it's carried through some words, some sounds or something, some motions or something like that. But this is an interface, like on the computer. I don't know what to do with a computer chip. I can't make a computer chip do anything for me, right? That computer I'm using. There's so many chips and wires and circuits and amazing tiny things all doing calculations and so many things. But I without an operating system, it would be a brick, you know. Use it as a brick. I have no use for it. You install an operating system. You put a monitor there and a keyboard and a mouse, an interface, a GUI, a graphical user interface. And here's an image of a folder. Here's an image of a file. Put the file in the folder. Just like I do in the file cabinet. Here's a document. Put it in a folder. Put it in the file cabinet. But I don't know how to do that except with this interface. And there's an icon, a picture. So follow the pictures. Here's a picture of a file. Put that picture inside of the folder picture. And then, you know, give a name to it. And then you'll know what's in it. And then it has value. It has use. It's useful. And you can store, so many documents. The documents that I can store on that computer, if you tried to put them on with pen and paper, they would fill this room, maybe this house. There'd be so many, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of them. And they can all go on a little chip in the computer and be retrieved. I need this document. What is the lease agreement we have on this place? And what is the mortgage arrangement? What is the some legal case? What is the thing we're working on with the incorporation or whatever? So many documents. Let me file my taxes. Let me do this. Let me do that. Couldn't do it without that via media. I can't plug my fingers into the electrons and send them through the telephone wires and do these things. The computer is the media for doing that, and the operating system is giving access to that, and the interface, the keyboard, the display, the monitor, the mouse, these are the way I interface. The guru is the way I interface with God. He's the via media. God has come, and he's giving me a chance. You do not know how to interface with me directly. Here's a way to do it. But don't think that because he is apparently like you, that he is really like you. You get sick, and he gets sick. You have blood pressure, he has blood pressure. You have difficulty breathing, he may have difficulty breathing. You have allergies, he may show allergies, etc., etc. So don't think that's a defect. It's an enhancement. Because without that, you wouldn't know what to do with Guru. Not a defect. It's increasing your ability to have some contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which you otherwise could not have. Takshri Krishna Namadi Nabhavad Grayam Indriyai Sevam Muke Hijivado Svayam Evas Paratyada. We cannot understand the transcendental name, fame, form, qualities, and pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord. We cannot understand them, but they will be revealed to us through service to the Lord. And we need a way to serve. Remember Srila Sridhar Maharaj giving an example of one, I think his name was Professor Nixon, but I get them confused. But anyway, some example he was giving of a pilot, right? During World War II, this pilot, his plane was destroyed, and he was praying to God. If you will save me, I will be your servant. If you just save me from death. He was almost sure to die. His plane has been shot out of the sky, so he's almost sure to die. God, if you save me from death, then I will serve you. And so he was saved. And he was wondering then, oh, I made this promise. I want to keep my promise. But how can I serve God? And he ended up in India because he expressed this idea that I went to the church and told them I want to serve God, but I want to serve 24 hours a day. And he was told, we don't have that kind of facility. We can't accommodate your request, but we've heard in India there's some idea for that. So he went to India and he found Gaudiya Math. And Gaudiya Math, that's what Gaudiya Math is all about. 24 hours a day engagement in the service of God. 24 hours a day. Morning, noon, night. Every moment, every minute, that's our aspiration. Because that's the only thing which will give us happiness. It's the only position of comfort. It's the only position of satisfaction. And we'll never be satisfied in any other position. Do we want satisfaction? Do we want to be comfortable? Do we want to enjoy? Do we want to be happy? Yes, I want to be happy. Yes, I want to feel satisfied. I want to feel comfortable. I want to feel secure. I don't want to feel insecure. As long as we have some contact, even small, with the material world, the material energy, thinking that it is... has some place, some position of influence over us, we'll be insecure, we'll be uncomfortable. So 24 hours a day, every moment, every minute, waking and sleeping, etc., we should be engaged in the service of the Lord and His devotees. Then we'll be accepted by the Lord and His devotees as proper candidates for His living in His eternal company. Jai Sparikar Shri Shri Guru Granga Shri Shri Gandharvika Girid Hari Jul Ki Jai. Jai Shri Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Shri Asi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Shri Bhakti Vakak Shira Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Nittai Gaur Premanande Haribol Gaur Haribol.